Good morning. Our scripture could be found on page 1124 in the Pew Bible. That was such a beautiful song. It really touched me. Okay. It's on Luke chapter 16, verse 19-31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died, was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here and you are in agony. And besides, all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone who cross over from here to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." May God bless the portion of this scripture.
Thank you. Say a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we ask you now, please, to give us your peace. Help us, help our minds and heart to relax and hear you speak to us. And Lord, I ask, please, to empty me from myself and use me just as an instrument for your glory. In your blessed name I pray, amen. The other day, a couple of days ago, a Greek gentleman, a good friend, called me and he shared something with me. It was interesting because I had already decided about the subject, and when he shared that, I was sort of encouraged later on to mention it. He said, "I was talking with some religious people, and I mentioned to them something that happened just recently." He said, "I told them about a situation where I knew of a man, we all knew of a man, and that he wasn't good. He was despised by most people, and they were sending him to hell daily. And then," he said, "this man died. And then at the funeral, the priest and others gave him a royal send-off to the eternal paradise." And he said, "That was something really that bothered me." He said that while on this earth, he lived like a devil, and they accused him of being a devil, and his life was they despised him by many. Many despised him for who he was, and then when he died, they were willing to send him to heaven and sort of say the nicest things on earth. Obviously, we don't want to talk about eternal death and hell in the church these days, or people don't want to think of hell. As a matter of fact, the only time the word hell is used is when someone is fighting with someone else or wants to curse him, and he sends him to hell. At one time that word wasn't even, you aren't even allowed to use it on television or in the radio because it was a bad word. Today you hear anything you want to hear. And why do I speak this morning about heaven and hell? And why am I bringing an example of two extremes, some people said? As a matter of fact, I was some time ago, I was discussing this story with a Jehovah's Witness who was arguing with me that there is no hell and when you die, you just it's the end. And I gave him the story, or at least I mentioned the story of Lazarus and the rich man, and he said, oh, that was only an example, but that's not true. It's not an example, it's a true account of what happened. And Jesus is using it to make his point clear. This is a fearful and very often ignored part of the Bible. Fearful because of the subject involved. Condemnation, hell, if you wish. Fearful because of the speaker, Jesus. Jesus talked about hell. We could have overlooked or ignored these words if they had come from a madman. We could have ignored or rejected these words if the speaker was a religious fanatic. We could have ignored and rejected these words if they had come from a bigot. But these words of truth came from Jesus himself. And because this was not a parable, but a real event, Jesus gives the name of the poor beggar, Lazarus. Jesus never gave names in his parables. He would always say there was a rich man, a poor man, there was a king, there was a queen, whatever. But he never gave names. But here, because it's a real account of or something that happened, Jesus used his name. Otherwise, Jesus would be lying. The contrast of their lives is something to look at this morning. This rich man was in fact very rich. He was dressed in purple. It was purple was a rare and precious dye color and was very expensive. Purple spoke of royalty. Fine linen was worth twice its weight in gold. He lived in luxury every day. He did not have to worry about his daily bread or rent. He may have even been a religious man. So today you look at this story and you say, what's wrong? There's nothing wrong with this man. Just because he was rich and he dressed well, there are a lot of Christians these days, a lot of born-again believers. All you have to do is watch television and you see some very good dressed, very nice dressed people going to church and driving big cars, nice cars. And why are they going to go to hell? Because they are rich and they have nice cars and they have nice clothes. No, that's not what Jesus is trying to say or saying here. And we'll see why he was condemned to hell later on. But the reason was not because he was wealthy and he dressed well. The beggar's name was Lazarus. He was a very poor and sick man. He was covered with painful sores. He laid at the gate of a very rich man's home, hoping to eat what fell from the rich man's table. There are some things we do not know about this beggar, actually. We do not know his age. We do not know how long he had been a beggar. We are not told anything about his past. And once again, we are not told this story. Jesus did not give us this story to emphasize or to say that every person who is poor and does not have a home, who is sick, is going to be going to heaven. That's not the reason why he told us this story. And history, I should say historical fact. What a contrast for us to see. But there were some things we could not see. These things we saw, we were able to see because, well, at least Jesus gave them to us, this information. But there were other things that we could not see because they were not mentioned. We could not see and know the peace Lazarus had. And this morning we've been discussing in our adult class, what is joy and what is peace? What is happiness? And we do not really know how peaceful Lazarus was. Just because he was at the door, seated near the door of a rich man, hungry and suffering and in pain, it doesn't mean that he didn't have the peace of his salvation. It did not mean that he was complaining and fighting. We don't know this. We could not see or know the emptiness within the heart of the rich man. And just because the rich man was partying every day and he was wearing nice clothes and because he had a lot of servants and because there was a lot of food and a lot of music, it didn't mean that he was a happy man. As a matter of fact, some of the richest actors and actresses and rich men and women are miserable these days. That's why they go, they take drugs, and that's why they do all the things they do, and then they end up arrested in prison or commit suicide. It is not how rich or poor you are that makes you happy or unhappy or miserable. It is what is in your heart and your relationship with your Creator. The contrast of their deaths also is worth looking at. And we read in verse 22, and the beggar died. As a matter of fact, it says more. It says, and the beggar died, and angels carried him into the bosom of Abraham. That means when Lazarus died, there was a royal send-off, if you wish. That was a royal send-off. And a royal reception into the presence of God. Lazarus died first. That was no surprise. But when death comes, often the timing may surprise people. To some, death seems to come when not expected. And to others, it seems that death takes its time. There is no mention of a funeral or a burial service here at all. Maybe he was buried in some potter's field or the valley of Hinnom. But that didn't change the fact that his welcome into the kingdom of God was a very happy and wonderful event. Or else Jesus would not mention it. The rich man died also. His death should have come as a surprise. Wealthy, healthy, but wealth cannot buy life. His funeral must have been a great event. Hired mourners, lots of flowers, a long list of his accomplishments. A priest or a minister may have preached him right into the glory. But did he go into the glory? No matter what you say on this earth when someone is lying there, no matter how many prayers you offer, and no matter how many times you go to church, and how many hospitals you build, for to man is appointed once to die. And then, that's it. He or she will find either himself or herself in the presence of God, or eternal death, hell. That's what the Bible says. I know it's not popular. I know it's not very wise these days, pastors, to get up and talk about hell. But Jesus spoke about hell, and Jesus preached about hell, not because he wants to send people to hell. And that's not what the purpose of this message this morning. I'm not here to say, everyone is going to hell except us, the Baptists, or the members of this church, or us. No, not at all. All I'm saying is this. Unless we make peace with God, and unless we invite Christ in our lives, we all have been condemned. Sin came through one man, but salvation also came through one person, Jesus Christ. And death is that moment when life stops here and another life starts after that line when we cross it. Eternal life or eternal death and suffering. Someone may say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I believe in everything you say, but I'm not sure about hell, I'm not sure about heaven. I don't know. Well, obviously we don't know. We have not been there and we haven't come back from heaven or we haven't come back from hell. But we who claim to be Christians, the followers of Christ, and we go to church and we some people light the candle, others sing praises, must accept what Jesus gave us as a fact. And the fact was that when the rich man died, he found himself in hell. And the poor man, Lazarus the beggar, found himself in the presence of God. This flesh is useless. It's useful for as long as the soul is in there. It's useful for as long as there is life in this flesh. It's useful as long as God dwells in there or devil dwells there. It all depends. Who dwells there, that this flesh becomes useful or is useful. But the moment that spirit goes, this flesh is nothing but dust. But unless we believe in an eternal soul, we better not go to church, not pray, not do anything at all. But if we do pray, and if we do believe in God, and if we claim to be Christians, then let's take the words of Christ seriously, that there is eternal life. Wonderful. And you don't have to be a holy person. You only have to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and follow Him. And that journey is a pleasant journey, believe it or not, with a lot of problems, but yet very very joyful because God is with you. I believe Jesus gave this story, this historical fact, to warn people, to make them think of hell, to make them think of heaven. And if you think, some people say, well, hell is right here, the way I'm living my life, the way I'm suffering, I have no job, I have a lot of pain. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of people with a lot of pain. Every time I call June Ross and I talk to her, who is bedbound, if you wish, he is shut in for many years, and I'm there to comfort her. She is the one that is comforting me. And June will be listening to... We love you, June, because she receives the tapes every week. And you know what? I've never seen June not smiling. What makes that heart become joyful is not the pleasant things around us. It's not even the health. Yes, when you have pain, you don't laugh, but still you have that joy. And that's what was the difference between this rich man and poor Lazarus. The rich man had everything that everyone wants to have. And Lazarus had everything that no one wants to have. Pain, suffering, poverty, loneliness. And yet, that's not how God sees things. The contrast of their experience in eternity was something also to look at. Verses 22-31. Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's side. Verse 22 says, angels carry true believers right into the presence of Christ. Now, Lazarus was not because, didn't go there because he was poor, as I said, but because he was saved. Because he had the salvation, he had been saved, and he had that hope of his eternal salvation enabling to continue his life. The rich man suddenly found himself in hell. The spirit, the soul, can see, hear, and cry, and also speak. Just in case people would say, well, you know, once I die, who knows? Maybe no one will know me. I won't know anyone. Maybe I'll be just a little soul. No, that's not what it is. Jesus describes that existence as one which is active. The spirit can recognize and can remember, obviously. The rich man's great concern about his lost brothers shows his great love for them. Even though he is in hell, he wants to warn them about the horrible torment in hell. And when I put the title, A Message of Love from Hell, I thought it would sound like a contradiction, but it's not. Because the rich man, although he lived a life that was comfortable in hell, he realized that was all for nothing. He realized that his brothers are doing the same thing on earth, and he wants now to help them. And he has this tremendous love for them. All of a sudden, he wants to become a missionary. And if you wish, he wants to send the message of the good news. He wants to talk to them about the gospel of salvation. Because now he knows this is a first-hand experience in hell. And he wants to warn his brothers and sisters. The question, of course, this morning is, what am I supposed to do? Why are you telling me all these things? Well, I'm not telling you these things. The Bible gives us this historical fact to warn us that in hell or in heaven, we cannot change anything. We go to heaven or we go into the presence of God and we enjoy His presence and our soul is not tormented but rejoices in His presence. In hell we are tormented, and I'm not here to tell you what the temperature will be or how big the hell is or how large the flames are. All this is things that people argue about, and these things make no sense. I once said, even if someone was telling me that, well, hell, I don't believe in hell, or maybe I believe, but maybe it's not going to be like that. So I said, what do you like to do in life? And this person said, well, I like sports, a lot of sports. I can never stay in. I want to go. I said, what if someone locked you into a room for the rest of your life and you could not go out? Oh, that would be hell for me, he said. Well, I said, if that would be hell, you can imagine how hell would be in the real place. The rich man's great concern about his lost brothers shows his great love for them. What about our love for our loved ones? We still have an opportunity to reach out to our friends, to our family members, to our children, parents, and share with them the great news. If the rich man from hell wanted to send someone, what about us? That is why I believe many of you go out and distribute tracts and talk to people and organize activities to warn people about eternal death. His concern exceeds the concern of most Christians today. Do you believe that we as Christians are as concerned as this man in hell? This man in hell had more concern for the lost souls than millions of Christians today who enjoy the fellowship in a church, who enjoy food in the church, who enjoy the choir in the church, who enjoy arguing and fighting about doctrine and doctrines, which speaker is the best and which doctrine is the best and how. And all this stuff that confuses people and becomes a hindrance to the message, to the spreading of the good news, if you wish. This man in hell had more concern about the lost souls than many Christians today. He wanted Lazarus to go back and evangelize his family and others. That was a message of love from hell, but it was too little too late. The response was, they have Moses and the prophets, the Bible, let them listen to them. In other words, the Bible is enough. If they don't listen to what the Bible says, they will not listen even if someone rises from the dead. While Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus came back, and Jesus was reaching out once again, but very few believed in him. And those who believed in him understood the message and spread the good news. And that is why for the past 2,000 years we have billions of people who have identified with Christ. Some died, many died, gave their lives. No one is prepared to live until he is prepared to die. Unless you are ready to die, you cannot enjoy life on this earth. Unless you know your end, you cannot enjoy your present. And how can you enjoy life when you are not sure where you will spend your eternity? Do you care about those who will die unprepared to meet God? Will you show your love for others? Do you care what happens to them? If you do, do something now before it is too late. Lazarus cannot go and tell them. Will you go to do it? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for preparing a place for us. And I know, Lord, that some of us may have difficulty understanding all the details. And Lord, it is very difficult for people in general to think of life after death, for they are so preoccupied and they are so busy doing what gives them some pleasure or peace. And Lord, many of us, being involved in church activities and religious activities, often forget that we are all in a journey which will end in death, and then there will be the reward or the price that we will receive as Christians, as believers, as your servants. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for speaking to us. And the example of Lazarus and the rich man, may it stay in our minds to encourage us to reach out and touch many souls with the news that you love everyone and that you are willing to forgive anyone who comes to you. But also we must remind ourselves and others that unless we are born again, and unless we surrender our lives to you, and unless we follow you as you instructed us, we will find ourselves in great difficulties. And we'll be accountable, we are accountable for our brother, Lord. Just touch each life this morning. May the Holy Spirit convict us and strengthen us and revive us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.